AFAstreaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we removed the letters ING. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical. Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you're having a great week. It is Thursday and lots going on in our nation. Lots of things to report with the pick from Kamala Harris for her VP to round out the ticket, Tim Walz. We're going to talk about that today. But before we do, I wanted to share great news from Scripture. You know, I did a funeral yesterday and I read from Psalm 46. Psalm 46 is such an important psalm, such an encouraging psalm. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, because God is with us. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. And Psalm 46, verse 10, is a key verse for so many Christians. Many of us know it in the King James, where it says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Well, be still means cease striving, let go, relax, just rest in me. I'm God. I have this. I'm in charge. I'm in control. The Lord sat as king at the flood. Yes, the Lord sits as king forever. We've talked just this week. It's easy to get your eyes on circumstances and then your heart fills with fear. And so you want to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Well, let me just say, as a reminder, this is National Truth for Youth Bible Week on American Family Radio, and we want you, our listeners, to help us give away thousands of free Bibles to young people across America. The Truth for Youth Bible, we want to get that in the hands of Christian students who can give to their friends, and our goal is 60,000 as we partner with Revival Fires International. So how can you get involved? Well, go to tfy.org, TFY, truthforyouth.org, anytime online, and you can find out more about it, and you can participate in getting Bibles, or you can call 844-530-8890. That's 844-530-8890. So the $60,000 or 60,000 unit goal, we are a ways away from that, and so we need you to get involved, and parents and grandparents to get those Bibles and put them in the hands of their Christian kids that can take them to school. Really will make a difference. God's word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and if people will start to read it, unbelievers will start to read the word of God. God can work in their lives because the word of God does not return void. Well, the big news this week has been that Kamala Harris chose Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota, to be her running mate. And, you know, the liberal news commentators, they were all excited about that because we have this National Guard veteran, this war-tested guy, this guy who claims to be a sergeant major. I mean, how much more patriotic can you get than that? This is what Tim Walz said about himself.
I'm a retired command sergeant major. I spent 24 years in the Army National Guard.
So when you first came to Washington, you were a retired command sergeant major in the Army National Guard, so you were drawn immediately to...
As a 24-year veteran of the National Guard and the Red Bull Division and a retired command sergeant major...
Well, that sounds pretty good, except it's not true. This was an interview with somebody who was in the know.
The warning order was already out. Everybody knew they were going. And I don't know if he's never responded why to anybody really, except that, well, I had to quit to run for Congress, which is a lie, like a lot of the other ones. a lot of the lies he tells. I mean, but he basically said that. But, you know, I don't know if he was a coward when he originally did it, or if he felt, well, I'm in over my head. If I go there, I'm going to get people killed, or I'm, you know, maybe deep down he felt I'm incompetent. You know, I mean, you can't talk your way out of somebody shooting at you in a scenario like that. And, you know, he's very good at talking and you know, doing that. I mean, I got to give him credit there. He loves hearing himself talk. The Star Tribune reporter I talked to way back when, he actually said, well, isn't that treason? And I said, well, treason is probably one level over and above what he did. I said, because that's selling the country out to another nation. You know, if you're a double agent spy or something, I mean, that's one thing. But, you know, he is a traitor, because a traitor is basically a person who betrays a country. And that is what he did. And then I got thinking about it, about like this, that bird dog guy that just walked away from his unit in Afghanistan. And it was like, you know, that literally is what Tim Walz did. He is a deserter too. You know, it's a different version of it, but a soldier who leaves or runs away from service or duty with the intention of never returning, that is exactly what he did. He had no intention of ever coming back into guard or filling out one more day in combat boots.
So that was one of the guys that served with him and took over when Tim Walz left. But here's the problem is when his unit was called up, he said, forget it, I'm not going. But he still claims that he went, and he claims the title of that sergeant major, which you can't do if you never completed the requirements for that job. And so it's called stolen valor. Now, J.D. Vance had something to say. J.D. Vance, who was a Marine and did serve in combat, this is what he had to say about Tim Walz.
He said, we shouldn't allow weapons that I used in war to be on America's streets. Well, I wonder, Tim Walz, when were you ever in war? When was this, what was this weapon that you carried into war, given that you abandoned your unit right before they went to Iraq and he has not spent a day in a combat zone? What bothers me about Tim Walz is the stolen valor garbage. Do not pretend to be something that you're not. And if he wants to criticize me for getting an Ivy League education, I'm proud of the fact that my mamaw supported me, that I was able to make something of myself. I'd be ashamed if I was him and I lied about my military service like he did.
So, stolen valor, that's not a minor thing. And among military people, that is a major, major thing. You don't do that. You don't present yourself as some big war hero when you're not. And so, to help us as we discuss this situation, this latest situation, and all the trash coming back his way, because he made these statements and people are saying, hey, you didn't do this, and I don't know how you talk your way out of that. But to help us with this discussion is my good friend, Dr. Scott Coulter, the CEO of the Danbury Institute, a coalition committed to defending life and liberty. Scott, welcome to Real Truth for today.
Good morning, Dr. Shreve. So glad to be here with you, and just landed on a flight from the East Coast. So glad to make it on the show today.
Yeah, I'm glad that worked out. Okay, Scott, so when you heard that Kamala Harris, who has been described as the most liberal senator, she was when she was in the Senate, the most liberal senator to ever be in the Senate. Some said, well, that's what the Republicans called her. No, that's what she was dubbed by those who were not on the right. When she chooses Tim Walz, what was your initial reaction to that?
Well, keep the popcorn out. This has been some of the most interesting politics, I think, in the entire history of our country in the past 3 or 4 weeks here. What's happened with her rising to the top of the ticket and now becoming the presumptive candidate, the nominee, with never having a primary vote cast for her exclusively is unique all in itself. Here she is building out an entire new ticket with Tim Walz on it, her on the top of that. And this is not what we expected. We were looking at Josh Shapiro to be a likely candidate there in several different ways. I personally did not think this was the decision that she would make to go with. Several people, including Ben Shapiro, have called this political malpractice. Just not following even some of the most basic rules of political maneuvering and choosing someone who complements you or brings in a different base or is even leading a swing state in some ways there. So it seems very, very unique that she made this decision. Conservatives have been universally excited about it. Those that are hoping for her not to be elected feel like this was a good move for conservatives this year. And lots and lots of interesting things here. But this is moving the Democratic ticket so far to the left, away from any central ideologies, any central movements in the country to the absolute fringe of the far, far left side of this country right now.
Well, I saw an interview, Scott, where he was asked, are you a centrist? And he said, no, I'm a progressive. I mean, he's proud of that. He's proud of the fact that I'm not a centrist politician. I am pushing hard to the left. This is what he said concerning his stand on Planned Parenthood when he mentioned that Nancy Pelosi even told him to tone it down.
And my record is so pro-choice, Nancy Pelosi asked me if I should tone it down. I stand with Planned Parenthood, and we won.
So he is all for the murder of the unborn, as is Kamala Harris, and he's for the transgender insanity and the mutilation of kids. If you can't kill them before they're born, then maim them for life as a young child. Why on earth would America want to go in this direction? It just floors me, Scott, when I think about, okay, if we do have a free and fair election, which is two key caveats there, and America chooses this vision, this strong left vision for the country, I mean, we deserve what we get.
This is perhaps the most radical ticket Americans have ever seen and had placed before them. It truly is unbelievable in the history of this country how far left the Democratic Party has gone. We need to note, though, that that party is very divided right now. If you think back to the previous election where Joe Biden was a candidate there, there were far left progressives and there were centrist Democrats there, and Joe Biden won that primary on central Democratic tenets, kind of the long-standing tenets of the Democratic Party. Certainly he became much more far to the left once he was elected and once he was put into office, but he appealed to kind of a moderate Democratic base. If you remember, Kamala Harris came out of that primary very, very early on. She did not have much traction or much positive movement in that early primary. The Democratic Party was not going as far left as she was. Many of the other primary candidates were, and here she is now, the top of the ticket without having won a primary, and seems to be running that direction. She has said before that she is not as radical as her movements were and some of her decisions were, and so this decision is really just making abundantly clear to the American people that that is where she is, that is where her ticket is. They are not trying to run a balanced campaign. They're not trying to even appeal to a wide swath of Americans and reach a critical mass there. They are running far to the left and really pushing that extreme bound. I think a lot of Americans are looking at this and are not where she is. They're perhaps longstanding Democrats. They hold to some of the early values of our country there, and they have left kind of the center lane wide open. You're seeing the Republicans and the Trump campaign move into that space and begin to capture a lot of middle ground. And that's making some of us who are further to the right a little bit uncomfortable, but I understand the political strategy there of shoring up your right side and then moving in and capturing the central vote there and picking up what the Democrats have effectively abandoned.
Okay, Scott, there's a term that's been around for a long time, a blue dog Democrat, which just means, you know, if they would vote for a blue dog if he's under the banner of Democrat. I've stated that for so many people, you could run a pet rock, a pet rock and a chihuahua on the ticket. It doesn't matter. They're still going to vote that way. And so I guess the question would be, are people on the left, are they really looking at this stuff and saying, wait a minute, this would really change things in America and maybe irretrievably change things in America? What do you say about that?
Well, Pastor, the man on the street interviews are always very discouraging. I'm sure you see those as well, where we take a microphone out and talk to individuals walking around, roaming in our country, and it's just dumbfounding how little they know about America, America's founding, even who the current president is or who the candidates are. And so the joke there is always that, you know, the people are the biggest concern in democracy, and the job of the candidates, the job of the campaigns is to educate about these issues. And so we as conservatives and as Republicans always have our work cut out for us to educate people, and you're seeing an offensive take place here in some ways. I saw a really, really good ad come out of the Trump campaign just a couple of days ago, harkening back to Ronald Reagan's words there in 1980 when he was running against Jimmy Carter, talking about, were things better 4 years ago? How are we doing now? And how do you feel after the last 4 years? Can you afford things in a better way? Is your family doing better? Is your job and your business doing better? If not, then perhaps we propose an alternative. Trump is correctly picking up that narrative and saying, how are Americans doing? Yes, I understand the tendency to pull in a blue dog Democrat way there and to vote no matter what. But Americans are really feeling the pinch right now.
Scott, let me interrupt you. We're up against a break. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and we're talking to Dr. Scott Coulter about the events of the presidential election. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. And let me just reiterate that what you just heard about National Truth for Youth Bible Week on American Family Radio. Just encourage you to get involved. Visit tfy.org or call 844-530-8890. We want to get the Word of God, the Truth for Youth Bible, into the hands of students who don't know Jesus so that they can come to know Him in a real and personal way. Well, I need to correct myself. Jay Budzilowski, who is my engineer here at First Baptist Texarkana, that works with Randy Lucius, who's the engineer in Tupelo, he said, hey, you got that wrong on the blue dog Democrat. It's a yellow dog Democrat. They'd vote for a yellow dog if it was on the ticket. That was the pejorative that's used. A blue dog Democrat is used to talk about one who's more fiscally conservative. Well, we're talking to Dr. Scott Coulter, seminary professor and CEO of the Danbury Institute, a coalition committed to defending life and liberty. And Scott stays very much in tune of what's going on in our nation and politically and socially and culturally, those kinds of things. And so, Scott, let me ask you this. When it comes to the choice before Americans on November 5th, I mean, you have Kennedy, who is kind of an outlier there. I don't know. Has he even chosen a running mate?
He has, but I'm not sure who it is, and not sure anyone else has either.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you think about, okay, he's out there, he pulls votes away from Trump versus Harris. Is that right?
That's correct. He has effectively quit campaigning in the last few weeks, and I think he's seeing the writing on the wall here. But some interesting things. He made the news headlines a couple days ago for a bear that was supposedly hit by a car and then disposed of in Central Park. So just kind of some absurd stories there that were tied to him in some ways. But I think he's effectively throwing in the towel here, at least on his campaign.
Okay, so he won't even be on the ballot come November?
He'll be on some that he's already signed up for, I believe, but yeah, not a real threat that I'm seeing either direction there. I think he probably hurts the more progressive ticket in some ways because he's appealing to kind of that centrist base of people who are not comfortable with Trump, but will not go as far as the Harris now Walls ticket is willing to go. And so as much as he stays viable, I think he probably pulls votes away from the progressive radical left more than he does the conservative right. But of course, that's any man's guess at this point.
Okay, so Scott, when we think about the Christian community, we think about pastors and our responsibility on moral issues, and the moral and the political, they intersect. And so issues related to abortion, transgender insanity, border security, law and order, funding the police as opposed to defunding the police, those things, those are moral issues that we need to take a stand on. But you have a big group of people, or seemingly big group of people, that are never Trumpers. And they just say that guy's a convicted felon. He's a immoral guy. He's a narcissist to the max. I can't vote for him. I saw something from David French just yesterday that, I'm just not going to vote for this convicted felon adulterer, and I'll feel good about myself for not voting for him. So interact with that for us. And so what do you say to those pastors that are like, I don't know how to navigate these waters. I don't have a candidate to vote for. What am I supposed to do?
Well, the second part of the David French quote there is important. He said, I'm not willing to vote for a convicted felon, so I will just have to be satisfied with this radical, progressive Kamala Harris, Tim Walz ticket, which includes policies that would prevent the life-saving measures given to infants who were born alive after an attempted abortion. And we've got records now of 5 to 8 under Tim Walz's leadership that were attempted abortions where the infant was born alive and were restricted or removed life-saving measures that would have kept that born infant alive. That's infanticide. That's absolute murder. All abortion is murder, but this is absolutely egregious and abhorrent. And so what's being said there by David French is he'll go ahead and just be satisfied with that ticket instead because he's unwilling to vote for the conservative option in this sense. Al Mohler was at our event with the Danbury Institute a few weeks ago and summarized this truly well. He talked about in the 1960s, if you put aside the progressive or the left platform and the right platform, conservatives and Democrats there, it would be almost impossible to tell the difference between those platforms except for variances on marginal tax rates. The parties were so close together. Fast forward to the 1980s, he reminded us, when Reagan was running against Jimmy Carter, you began to saw some separation there on the moral issues of the day, the sanctity of human life being one of the primary ones that was beginning to separate those two parties. All the way forward to today, you're electing, he was saying, two entirely different governments. And so you're not just electing one candidate. You're electing an entire administrative operation with a cabinet, with secretaries, with a vice president, with judges and appointments and all of those things that are an entire different government program. And the issues between these parties are absolutely moral issues. They're not political issues. They are moral issues. They're the difference in right versus wrong, good versus evil. In our society, in our world today, they are life versus death for infants and for unborn, for the weakness among us. They are sex child trafficking. They are the open border that's bringing fentanyl across our border in unprecedented, unheard of numbers that are killing children in massive rates there. They are all of these different things that are moral issues. Churches and Christians have an obligation, a duty, not even a choice before us, but an obligation to speak into these things, to speak according to our Christian values. We are an issues-based group of people. And so the Bible speaks very clearly to these things, the sanctity of human life, the dignity of humanity, the image of God being inherent in each and every one of us. And so we must engage according to our Christian views.
Scott, how do you personally deal with the issues related to Donald Trump? I mean, nobody has a neutral opinion of that guy. He is such a lightning rod. People love him or people seem to hate his guts. But nobody, he's not a just kind of a mediocre guy as far as the feelings people have toward him. How do you reconcile voting for him given all his background and his baggage?
Absolutely. That's a question that every Christian must answer in some key and strategic ways. I would not choose Donald Trump to be the pastor of my church. We're Baptist. We get to choose and vote as Congregationalists and who our pastor is. I would not elect him to be the pastor of our church. I hope that he's a Christian. I know those who are around him are attempting to witness to him and several key ways are to share Christ and to call him to repentance and faith in Christ. Don't know if that has happened in his life or not, but we are electing a politician and a political leader to do a job. And that job, whether or not we like the personality nuances of that person, that job is passing policies and legislating and leading in a way to accomplish certain things in our country. And so we have to look beyond the personality of Donald Trump, which is very, very polarizing, to the things that he is doing and whether or not he is following through on the things that he said he would do and how that will go. He made some commitments in the last election cycle that he would appoint conservative Supreme Court justices, and he upheld that commitment, and that led to the overturn of Roe v. Wade, which I frankly did not think we would see in my lifetime. And he upheld his commitment. He followed through on his promise to do so. And so the policies I agree with for the large part. There's certainly some things I would like to nuance differently. I would like him to be stronger on in some ways there. But when you compare the policies of these two parties, not the personalities, but the policies, there's really not a clear choice there. There's not an option. There is a clear choice with the conservative direction.
Okay, Scott, let me ask you this. If you pull out your crystal ball and you become a prognosticator, explain to us what America's like if we go in the direction of Harris-Walz versus Trump and Vance. What do we see different 2 years from now? What would we see to be the difference?
Well, there is no space between Kamala Harris and Joe Biden's administration. She has followed suit. She has said she's the last person in the room on key decisions that he has made, and she has not distanced herself in any way from the decisions he has made. She's actually pushing them further to the left. And so if Kamala's walls ticket were to be elected, we would see more of the same issues we're having in our country right now. We would see more illegal immigration, which is coming across our southern border at unheard-of rates. Tim Walz actually said when Donald Trump was building the border wall that he wanted to open a ladder factory and build ladders that were 5 feet taller than however tall the wall was and give them to illegal immigrants coming across to welcome them into our country with open arms and to overcome the wall and any legal processes for coming into our country to allow them to skirt that. We would see more illegal immigration. How's our economy doing right now? We had a massive correction just a couple of days ago. That is the direct outcome of Bidenomics, and so several more years of that will increase inflation. And right now, things are out of reach for Americans. The groceries are out of reach. Fuel is out of reach at the pumps. Housing is out of reach. I know many, many people who can't buy a home right now with costs and with market rates and interest rates. All those things are simply out of reach. So our economy is not doing well for businesses nor for individuals. We would see the drugs continue to pour across our border. We would see the laws be codified to protect abortion rights in various states, as was done in Minnesota under his watch and under her watch as well. We would see those who were rioting and causing problems let out of prison and bailed out as she's done. So we would see more of what we've already had and more of what we've had in Minnesota. Remember, Minneapolis was burning there with the riots following the George Floyd and the BLM movement, and that was allowed to happen under his watch. So I think we would be in for years of turmoil and destruction and a tremendously difficult path, not to mention the morality of it for unborn infants and for the transgender access for children and requirements for those things, for those who are seeking that even without parental involvement or awareness. So I'm tremendously concerned about that if this election takes place.
Yeah. Now, if Trump and Vance got in, what do you see changing in 2 years?
Well, I believe Trump would bring back a lot of the policies he put in place before. And so really the opposite of those things. Trump certainly isn't perfect. We want to be involved in helping to pull him the right direction. He does listen well to those who are in his circle and those who are influencing him. And there are several Christians and conservative Christians around him who speak into his policies. And so we certainly are grateful for those opportunities and want to lean into those opportunities and those open doors. But a strong position on the border and closing our border down, finishing what he began there. We've gone down and visited that border in southern Texas and saw where the border wall ended. We've come to the point where it's open, and the wall came to an end. And right there, there's a stack that's as tall as your waist, like several feet high, of children's toys and clothes where they've been discarded as they come across the border and drop off their toys there. And it's heartbreaking to see that. That's representative of children who are being brought into this country, many of whom end up in sex trafficking circles and in just abhorrent circumstances there, with the promise of a better life that does not exist for them and that is not here for them when they arrive, oftentimes a much, much worse life. And so there's a humanitarian crisis at our border. We must close down the fentanyl coming into this country. We need to get our economy back in track. We need to get our interest rates going the right way. We need to get taxes under control. We need to stimulate our economy and bring growth back to this country. He's talking about energy costs and getting better control with drilling in the mainland and all of that. So those things must go, opening up cars away from the electric vehicle mandates and opening up all options for vehicles to Americans once again. And just stopping some of these policies that are absurd and are foolish for the direction of our country. So really the opposite in every direction there.
How about with the conflict in Israel and then in Ukraine? What does Trump do different from what Harris would do?
One of the things I like about President Trump is he is one who is willing to roll up his sleeves and look for solutions and solve solutions and present solutions to these challenges before us. And so I believe he leads with confidence and with strength and would return America to a position of strength. I happen to believe that Russia would not have invaded Ukraine if Trump were president. And that entire conflict that is costing our country billions and billions of dollars could have been avoided. He also stands strongly with Israel. You know, Trump was responsible for bringing the American embassy back to Jerusalem and recognizing the Israeli capital where they have desired it to be. We recognize that from America's perspective as well. And so he is very well received, very beloved in Israel. and would stand with Israel, would stand with Netanyahu in that way. One of the concerns with the Tim Walz pick here is Josh Shapiro, by all intents and comments, the Pennsylvania governor, was a much better choice politically. That's a swing state. Both states, or both campaigns, are saying they need to win Pennsylvania to win this next election. And that's a purple state, very, very divided right now. But Shapiro there has a 61% approval rating. And so he's carrying a lot of the state liking him. And she chose not to go with him, but instead with Tim Walz here, a radical progressive. And many people think that's because Shapiro is Jewish in nature, and that would upset and radicalize the pro-Hamas and the pro-Palestine base that they're counting on right now. And so it seems to be some anti-Semitic tropes built in there that run deep into the Democratic Party. And I don't trust what they would do with Israel and their willingness to stand and defend our greatest ally in the Middle East.
Okay, Scott, what would you say to this? Because there are some people that say, hey, I say with Jesus, my kingdom is not of this world. This is just a hot potato. I don't want to get involved in this at all. I'm just going to trust the Lord. I'm going to keep sharing the gospel, and I'm just going to sit this out. What's your counsel to that kind of thinking?
Well, we hear that so often from pastors, and really that's a lie that's been foisted upon the church, that pastors have to either choose to be faithful to the gospel or to be involved in caring for our country and in advocating for what's good in our country. First of all, Christians are called to be salt and light. That means preserving what is good, what's true, and what's virtuous in the world around us, and standing up for truth. And that happens in the context of the public square. You can't do those things apart from the public square in our country. And we're called to do that. God has created three institutions in this world. He's created the family, and we as men and fathers and husbands must be willing to fight for our family and to defend our family. He's created the church. And as pastors and leaders, we must fight for and defend the church and protect the flock that God has entrusted to us. And he has also established and created government to encourage good in the world and to suppress evil and to guide us as we cooperate together as individuals and societies. And so why would we fight for our families? Why would we fight for our churches but not fight for our government and not fight for our country? That's God's third institution that he owns, he controls, he established. And we have an obligation to fight for our country and to engage in these things. And it's for all of that. When we're fighting in our country, we're fighting for our churches and for our religious liberty. Amen. To worship and to practice our religion as we believe. And we're fighting for our families and for our children who are the victims.
Let me break in, Scott. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve talking to Dr. Scott Coulter. Don't go away. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you, we need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. Pastor Jeff here talking to my good friend, Dr. Scott Coulter, the CEO of the Danbury Institute, a coalition committed to defending life and liberty. And before we jump back in to our subject matter, let me just encourage you. National Truth for Youth Bible Week on American Family Radio is closing quickly. And so we want to get the Bible into the hands of students. You can help us do that. The goal is 60,000 Bibles into the hands of students. Visit us online, TFY, Truth for Youth, TFY.org, or call 844-530-8890. That's 844-530-8890. And get involved, and let's make a difference as we get the Word of God into the hands of those who desperately need to hear about God's love, God's grace, and God's salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we are going to go to the phone lines right now, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, Dr. Coulter will stay with us, and he will answer any questions that you may have. And Scott, as we ended up, we got up against a break there, but we were talking about those Christians that just want to sit this out. They just say, hey, I'm not political, and Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my followers would fight, but my kingdom is not from here. And they just buy into that thinking that, well, you know, it's unchristian or it's unspiritual to get involved in the nitty-gritty, the ugliness of politics. And so please finish your thought on that, Scott.
Well, thank you so much. Just this opportunity that we have right now is very clear. The leftist agenda in our country is coming after our families. They're coming after our children. They're coming after our churches. And it's all the way through. If they're not able to take care of your children, to take them out in the womb, the most dangerous place for an unborn child is in his mother's womb, then they fall victim to the transgender ideologies, the LGBTQ agenda, all the way through the education system and teaching cultural Marxism and radical CRT and DEI and all of those things to the education system. They're targeting our children. And so we're not just fighting unimportant battles. We're fighting for our churches and for our children, and that takes place in our country in the public square. So Christians, fathers, husbands, leaders must be engaged.
Amen. Amen. Well, the number to call is 888-589-8840. And if you have a question, a comment, we would love to hear from you. And we have Scott on the line from Mississippi. Scott, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Pastor Jeff, you got a Scott sandwich going on, brother. You better be careful.
Yeah.
Love all the Scots out there. Good morning.
Yeah, even Scott C. I've even got a C in my last name. So here we go. Pastor Jeff, I doubt you know what these two words mean, but I bet you Scott C. on the other end does. Elite capture. That's my opinion about what really controls our nation, where it is today, and where it will be 2 years from now. In the greatest sort of way. I'm not even sure we'll have an election on November 5th, to be honest with you, because I believe what controls this country is not in this country. I believe it is a president whose last name is Xi. And I believe the fact that Biden was compromised from the beginning, I believe that's the reason he got put into office. And I believe that's why the California liberals are being put into office now, and the most radical liberals that you can have. I believe that's why people who are elected to represent us can sleep with Chinese spies and still continue to show up in the Capitol building every day, making the decisions that affect our lives one day after another. That's Eric Swalwell. Remember what Adam Schiff did and the havoc that he wreaked on our nation for 4 years? That is Chinese elite capture. They have captured so many of our leaders, from mayors of cities to governors to representatives at both the local and federal level. You will not even ever know how many people have been bought to go against and to promote the destruction of this very great experiment that has been standing for all these years. And is going to be really pressing to make 250 in a couple of years.
Yeah. Okay. Scott Coulter, what do you say to the elite capture theory?
Well, I certainly understand what the brother is saying here. I give absolute credence to the depth of the depravity in our nation's government leadership, to the depth of the swamp, to the deep state and to the operatives there. They are working with other influences and working with other countries in ways there. We have seen that, and we have seen the projection of that onto Republicans when really it's the Democratic Party that is doing those kind of things. He mentioned Eric Swalwell. Certainly that's true. In a lot of ways there, in connections with Ukraine and things there that Trump was accused of having that really the Democrats were doing at the same time there. We have to get this cleaned up. We have to get our country back under control. We're aware of a lot of what's happening. There's probably a lot that we're not aware of. But Christians have to rise up. Citizens have to rise up and engage in these processes. Pay attention to what's going on. We must turn out in November and take back to control and get involved in some of these things that have gotten out of control with people disengaging and failing to participate in the processes. So we must turn out this time and be part of what's going on. Absolutely.
Amen. Well, Scott from Mississippi, thanks so much for your call, and thanks for those comments. I appreciate that. Well, we have Roxanne on the line from Texas. Roxanne, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. I just wanted to say I belong to a very large church, and I asked, our Sunday school class always has prayer requests that go out through emails sometimes daily, usually two or three times a week. And I asked to have prayer for voting. And I was told, no, that was upsetting to some people. And then we had a visiting pastor who talked about Christians talking politics in the hallways and how some people would be offended and turned away by that. And I'm just not comfortable in my church anymore.
Mm. Yeah, that's a concern for sure. And, you know, that's kind of my kingdom's not of this world. So we're just going to stay out of it and, you know, encourage all the flock to not talk about this. Everybody's talking about it. It is what is in the news. It's what is in the culture. You know, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and render to God the things that are God's. Well, Caesar wants your vote. Our Caesar is our government, and our government sure wants us to vote. Get out the vote is a big, big deal in both political parties. And so what would you say to Roxanne there, Scott?
Roxanne, that line of thinking is unfortunately so common in our churches right now, and we have to ask where it came from. Where did those ideas come from originally? Evangelicals, people like you and me, we represent 34% of the voting bloc in this country, and so we are really the last line of defense for this leftist agenda to stop and to be able to say, no, not on our watch. And the political operations of this country understand that Southern Baptists and evangelicals are standing against these ideologies they want to promote and to perpetuate. And so there have been targeted attacks into the church with these ideologies that we just need to disengage from politics and sit on the sidelines and focus on other things. The goal of that is not a pure goal. It's not a good goal. It's to peel off margins of votes. In order to push these leftist agendas and policies through our country. They've marched through institutions. They've marched through businesses. There's been a long march through our education systems. And now the leftist agenda is marching through our churches and through our religious organizations. And that's the banner under which they're doing it, is just disengage, just stay home. And if they can convince evangelical Southern Baptists to stay home, that's the margin to win or lose these elections. And so this is a political targeting. Christians have a political target on them, and unfortunately many of our churches are experiencing just what you're going through. I would encourage you, there's a great divide in our churches right now. Megan Basham in her book Shepherds for Sale has brought a lot of that to light, and to search for a church that aligns with your views, with your beliefs, and they're out there. Pastor Jeff is one of them. They're out there. We can help you find one, but it's so unfortunate, the state of our country right now and our churches in this country.
Amen. Yes, hang in there, Roxanne. Keep standing up for truth. So that's what we're called to, speak the truth in love, and we're called to be good soldiers of Christ Jesus and suffer hardship if need be for the gospel. And so stand up for the truth. You know, as Scott Coulter said, hey, God has given us, he's given us our families, he's given us the church, and he's given us government, especially in America, where we have a voice. We are we the people. And so if we the people drop the baton, we can't point the finger at anybody else. We're the ones that are supposed to stand up, be counted, so that we can pass the baton on to our children, our grandchildren. And what are we allowing them to have and grow up in? It's frightening to think about it. So God bless you. We have Paula on the line from Oklahoma. Paula, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, Pastor. My question was kind of the same. The church I was going to, but I'm really not going that much anymore, he said he's not voting and that too many people love the flag. And I was like, just, I'm not like, I am a patriot. I was ex-military. My dad was military. And, I mean, of course, God first and God is sovereign. But I think, and I've only been a Christian for about 14 years. And so I just, it seems like so many people have just sat on the sidelines and, like, they don't want to get involved in anything. You know, they knocked Donald Trump, but it's like, get in there and pray and help him and go be beside him. And, you know, we all are in our walk, you know, with Christ, and we need other believers to guide us. You know, I'm sure he hasn't had, you know, any godly counsel, which he's trying. I just am like, there, that's it. I won't say any more. Okay.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. I think Trump does have some godly people that speak to him. Robert Jeffress gets to speak to him on a fairly regular basis. Jack Graham, others like that. You know, it doesn't mean that he receives it all, but at least he's listening to it. I know, Scott, when I was in D.C. back in the Trump's presidency, they invited a group of pastors to visit the White House. I didn't get to see Trump, but we were there in the White House. And what was said about Trump was, you know, Trump may not be a Sunday school teacher, but he likes Sunday school teachers. And, you know, he seems to like Christians, and he seemed to be very open to policies and things that helped the church, not hindered the church. So what do you say to that?
Well, we have to make the best choices we can of who's in front of us. And so we have a bifurcative choice between two candidates coming up in November, and we must choose the best of those two candidates. And then, as the caller said, we must pray, we must engage, we must be active. We need to support groups like the Danbury Institute that's trying to have influence with the campaign and with the administration. There's other groups as well. My pastor, Jack Graham, you mentioned there, has a lot of influence. So does Robert Jeffress. So does Richard Land. Several of people that we would trust as Christian leaders. And Trump has said, he said, I don't always listen to pastors, but I realize that I always do better when I do listen to them, and I want to listen to them more. And so he is very open to that. Donald Trump has been the most open, pro-faith, pro-influence from the religious community pastor, president of any in my lifetime, certainly. And so he's very open to that. And we can either choose to participate in those lanes and to speak to those issues and to try and have influence there, or we can disengage and withdraw. And we have seen what disengaging and withdrawing does. It's left to those who do not know the Lord, left to those who have agendas that are contrary to the things of God, contrary to Scripture. And that's what's got our country in this position. So Christians must rise up and reengage and speak according to their values, according to the issues, according to Scripture, to those who are in offices and have the opportunity to make differences and make change.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Paula. Thanks for calling in. We have Josh on the line from Texas. Josh, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, how you doing? Scott,
doing well.
How you doing, Pastor?
Doing well. Go ahead.
I guess there's another guy on that called in. His name is Scott as well. He was talking about how China was infiltrating different aspects of our government. And I just want people to understand, look, we don't really fight against China or Russia or all this. We have one enemy, and we have one friend. And as long as we understand that our enemy is Satan, and our friend is Jesus Christ, as long as we can kind of understand that and separate those two, that people have a tendency to go off into big conspiracy theories. Well, the theory is this. Satan wants to rule the world. He wants to rule us. He wants to turn our hearts away from God. And we don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against principalities, about the darkness of this world, right? So that's all I'm trying to say. I don't want people to go crazy thinking there's all kinds of stuff going on. We know what we're fighting. We know who we're fighting, and we know
that's
who our friends.
Yeah, people are not the enemy. People are used by the enemy, but the enemy is the devil, and he's the one, he's the prince of the power of the air, and we're not to be squeezed into the mold that he's pushing the world into. And so that's a good word, Josh, and it's important for us to remember that. And so people are the mission field, they're not the enemy. Well, Scott Coulter, thank you for being my guest today. Please, we just have another minute. Tell our listeners where they can connect with you.
Absolutely. Would love to connect with anyone. Visit us at thedanburyinstitute.org. You can sign up there to receive our Life and Liberty brief each and every week, the top issues facing our churches and our country with Life and Liberty. Also on Twitter or X, as well as Facebook and Instagram. Would love to follow you there. And I would love to connect with you however we can. Absolutely. Thanks for all you do.
Amen. Well, that was Scott Coulter, my good friend, and always a joy to get to talk to him. Hey, go out today. Today is all we have. Tomorrow may not come. Yesterday's gone. We have today to shine for Christ and share what great things the Lord has done for us and be His faithful witness, no matter the cost. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.